Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Panther Potpourri, a Florida Hockey Now podcast. I am your host, Jacob Langsam, and here with me, as always, is my co-host, TJ Peterson. Trade deadline day has come and gone. It was a very noisy day. The Panthers were no strangers to that noise. Didn't really do anything tremendous today, but there were a couple of interesting and unexpected moves that they did make. Most notably, they traded for Kyle Okposo, and they claimed Tobias Bjornfot off waivers. Those were the two big moves today, unless I'm forgetting something, but I don't think I am.
You're not, but there's also something that we haven't discussed yet. Two things. Probably the biggest news of the week in reality.
The Jonah Gadjevich extension.
That's right. 2 years, $775,000.
He's a core piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, TJ is referring to the Gustav Forsling extension. 8 years, $5.75 million per. I believe the last time we had discussed the potential Forsling extension on the pod, I believe I proposed 8x6, and your response was something to the effect of, if he accepted that, I would be thrilled.
And I am.
It came in a quarter of a million per year, below what you thought would be a bargain.
It's a bargain. This is a ridiculous contract. We're now in the world that Florida is a place that people take pay cuts to play in, specifically South Florida.
Yeah.
Because this is well below market value. He's been one of the 10 or 20 best defensemen in the league this year.
Yeah.
Everybody on the Florida Panthers blue line has been very good this year. And you can definitely make an argument for Aaron Ekblad maybe being better on the whole. But Gustav Forsling has been indispensable. And it was tough to imagine them letting him go. And they're not going to. And when you're able to lock up a guy that does perform like that on that kind of contract,
yeah,
you do it every time.
Former guest of the show, Dom Luschijan, his response to the to that extension was a tweet that simply read, "Babe, wake up, knew one of the best contracts in the league just dropped." That's pretty high praise.
There's that. There's the Matthew Tkachuk contract. There's the Carter Verhaeghe contract. some really strong contracts on the book for the Panthers right now.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Barkov's contract is pretty strong, but that's just me. The other thing about the Forsling extension is I feel like you're not signing that contract unless you also have an idea of what you're doing with Sam Reinhart. Like, I feel like in order to sign Forsling long term, you also have to, it seems to me like there has to be a sense of at least a general range of where you would expect Reinhart to land, or you know that he's not coming back. And well, I'd like to ignore that possibility.
I don't really understand how Reinhart telling you one thing or another affects this.
It's not necessarily Reinhart telling Zito one thing or another. It's you're talking to both agents throughout the year, trying to get things done with both. But I guess it may be a matter of prioritization, but I don't think you do Forsling until you have a good idea of where Reinhart lands.
Just in terms of prioritization, I mean, if Reinhart's not comfortable to sign yet, he's not comfortable to sign yet. If Forsling is, then he is.
True. I guess that's fair.
So the prioritization, you know, that's a two-way street. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, true.
I wonder, because we had heard more that contract was closer to happening than Forsling's.
Yeah. I mean, that's also part of... Yeah.
I mean, we've heard that the number is likely going to come in under Tkachuk, 9.5.
Which it should and would make me happy.
It would.
Panthers currently going into next season with about $35 million in forwards, $16.5 million in defensemen, and well, I guess, yeah, $14 million in goalies. So what is that? 35, 16, and 14, 35 and 30, 65, plus whatever's in the system, whatever else is in the system.
That's like 65, yeah.
$65 million on the NHL roster, but also that's not counting Reinhardt.
No.
As a UFA. Yeah, I mean,
Montour.
There's still, yeah, quite a few. I mean, yeah, there's still quite a few UFAs to contend with, and they just added a couple of UFA contracts. So let's get into that. I think we've kind of not necessarily exhausted the Forsling talk, but I feel like we've said all we really need to say. We're very excited. It's a bargain. He'll be here till age 35. I mean, it's not, yeah, he won't, that it's a good contract.
Yeah.
It's not like it's 30 to 38. It's 27 to 35. Yes, he'll decline, but his decline shouldn't be so stark that $5.5 million is too much, especially if the cap goes up the way that the league expects it to.
I do want to say before we move on to the trade deadline stuff, okay, that somebody that is not me tweeted from the account that, you know, you gave Forsling so 8 years because he's 27 and you can't do the same thing for Montour. And I'm going to say I disagree with that, not because I just think that you throw those years away and, you know, just don't act smart. You're in the position where you need to just be going for it, because who cares about 8 years from now? Barkov's going to be like 37.
36, yeah.
Bob is going to be gone, but yeah. We don't know what the goaltending situation is going to be. You know, Reinhardt, Tkachuk. We don't know what any of those are going to be, but basically you got a franchise player in Barkov.
Yeah.
You know, two really, Barkov and Tkachuk. And 8 years from now, Tkachuk will probably still be a very good player, but Barkov's going to be nowhere near his peak. And they went to the Stanley Cup final last year with him in his peak, but other than that, they really didn't have a whole lot of playoff success with him in his peak. So imagine when they don't have him in his peak.
I mean, there, if you want to look at it through the duration of Barkov's contract, he has 6 years left after this season,
mm-hmm,
which takes him to age 34, Tkachuk to age 32, Reinhardt to 34 if he signs long-term, and now add a 33-year-old Forsling. That's not necessarily a position where the team is too old to win. Past their peaks, sure. That doesn't strike me as too old to win.
Look, the thing about that is you can have all those players if you're like the Dallas Stars and yeah, you win the lottery and you get a franchise defenseman and you win the lottery metaphorically by getting Jason Robertson in the second round. And I mean, they've absolutely knocked their drafts out of the park. And that's the only way that you can be competitive when you have a Ben and a Sagan not performing up to their contracts the way True. That they are. So that can totally happen, but don't bank on it because...
Yeah, the Panthers would need to have draft capital in order for that to happen, and they do not.
Because you need to maximize the first few years of a theoretical Montour extension, make it 8 years and bring the AAV down.
Yeah.
And I do get frustrated when people don't like ever think about when a 30-year-old or whatever, they get an 8-year contract and it's like, oh, why did you give the guy 8 years? Well, maybe it was to get the AAV down. And I mean, the Panthers are in a situation to do that. I suppose I would understand if the Senators went out and signed Montour to an 8-year deal.
Yeah.
They might have to blow up this core, and then all of a sudden you're stuck with Montour for 6 years in a retool. That wouldn't be ideal for them.
Yeah.
Panthers are going for it. They're going for it as long as Barkov's younger than like 32.
You know, I do have to wonder to some extent regarding a Montour extension. Does Bill Zito take the Forsling extension and use it as leverage against Montour? Forsling is making less money than Montour right now. But I don't know. I mean, they've been using Forsling as a top pair guy. He's been a very strong top pair. Do you kind of look at Forsling and then look at Montour and say, you're not better than him? Convince me you deserve more money than this guy that's been a number two defenseman and a strong one.
The points argument is in Montour's favor here.
Yeah, of course.
which is always very relevant in contract discussions.
True.
It's pretty hypothetical at this point. We don't know what's going on in those talks. I did just want to say, think about it in terms of you bring the AAV down. Like, you can get a $2 million third liner, or you could get a $3 million third liner instead of a $2 million third liner if he's making 4.5 over 8 years rather than 5.5 over 6 years. And yeah, the difference between a $3 million winger and a $2 million winger, as we've learned this year, is pretty noticeable. Evan Rodriguez versus insert other players in the bottom six here.
Speaking of $2 million bottom six wingers, Kyle Okposo.
That's right.
So just to kind of get to the actual point of this podcast, which is to recap deadline day / deadline week. Yes, we did our Panther pre-express about Tarasenko, but he's also going to play into the conversation of the trade deadline as a whole. But let's talk about today in general. You get Kyle Okposo pretty early on in the day. That one was out of left field. I did not see that coming. I did not know he was a player that was even on the block or that teams were even looking at. He's getting up there in age. He's 35. If he wins a cup with the Panthers, I would bet he retires on the spot. Like, he's kind of in that kind of a situation. He was never the strongest skater, but his speed has noticeably dropped off and as he's gotten older, but he's still a relatively effective player as long as you play him against not other teams' top lines. Panthers get him for a seventh, which becomes a fifth if they win the cup.
And if they win the cup, we don't care about it.
Right. If you win the cup, the return is irrelevant. You got what you needed. So I have no problem with the Okposo move. My first reaction was pure shock. And then my second reaction was, okay, cool.
You know who wasn't shocked? Because they linked Okposo to the Panthers. When I say linked, I really mean discussed as a potential fit is me. Because I was looking on cap friendlies, pending UFAs, I saw his name, and I saw that he had already gotten double-digit goals, or maybe 9 goals. And I thought to myself, well, almost everybody in our bottom six has fewer goals than that.
That's fair.
And he
does have 12 goals.
He's a guy that I just remembered that he came back from. What was it that he came back from?
I don't remember.
Like the medical thing.
I do want to point out, just in terms of what you were saying about him in general, Kyle Okposo currently ranks 7th on the Panthers in goals.
Not bad, huh?
With 12. Yeah, it's kind of amazing, the Panthers goal scoring spread, because you've got Reinhardt at the top with 45, and then your second most is Verhaeghe with 30. And then Tkachuk with 21. And then you have a little bit of a... You've got three players. You got Tarasenko at 17, Barkov at 15, Bennett at 14, and then Okposo at 12. And then, it's a very stark drop-off from 1, 2, 3, and then you kind of get to everyone else.
Yeah, so he was an upgrade on everyone else in terms of the number of goals that they scored at the very least.
Yeah, morning skate will be interesting tomorrow.
Okposo is not supposed to play against the Flames on Saturday tomorrow when you're listening, most
interesting.
Likely. I believe Zito said that when speaking to the media today.
That's interesting, because I am curious to see who he plays over, who comes out of the lineup for him when he does play, because I mean it's gotta be either Cousins or Lomberg. And I know which one I would rather it be.
I know which one is my guess. I'm guessing Longberg, just for the record.
Yeah, I figured. I'm hoping Cousins. I really like Ryan Longberg. And unfortunately, acquiring two forwards, I think we have just about seen the last of Jonah Gadjevich on the ice for this season.
Yeah, I think that contract
barring injury. Yeah.
I think that contract was given to him as basically like, hey, you know, we like you, we value you, but it's time to load up and you've got one goal and or maybe two goals and one assist or whatever he has. Like we like what you bring in terms of the physicality and the willingness to scrap, but you know, it's cup winning time. So we kind of need to go all out and we'll give you over $1 million to be okay with that.
Yeah. Fact of the matter is if the Panthers win the cup, Gadrich's name will be on it.
Yes. He might even play in the playoffs because you remember how it was last year with all the injuries.
Yeah. So barring injury, I do think we've seen the last of Jonah Gadrich for the season, which does make me a little sad. Mm-hmm. But again, if come mid-June, Gary Bettman is handing the Stanley Cup to Alexander Barkov, my response will be, who is Jonah Gadjevich?
I mean, he's the cheerleader that spurred them on to win the cup.
Exactly. He's F-14 at this point, probably. Because he was F-13 after the Tarasenko trade. He was the healthy scratch. And I think Okposo probably plays ahead of him as well. And either Cousins or Lomberg becomes... I mean, Okposo, Cousins, and Lomberg, any one of them could be F-13. So, yeah, we'll see how this how the lineup shakes out. Maybe you're just saving Okposo for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give him...
Okposo hasn't been in the playoffs in 8 years.
Got to integrate him. Oh, my goodness, really?
I think that's what I saw. Well, how long has he been in Buffalo?
I guess you're right.
Hold on. Was the last time that Okposo was in the playoffs the year that the Islanders that he would have been on the Islanders beating the Panthers then?
Yes,
Fuck.
That's right.
Fuck.
So the last games that he played were against the Lightning in the round two series.
NHL playoffs. Yep. His last playoff round was 15-16. Or his last season in the playoffs was 15-16 with the Islanders.
So. I looked into it a little bit more.
He had 8 points in 11 games that postseason run. It's not bad. 15 points in 24 games, granted, 8 years ago.
But. So he has 10 goals that are, you know, I guess that's, I'm removing the power play stuff, but I also need to remove the shorthanded stuff. He has a shorty this year.
That rules.
two power play goals, two power play assists. So let's just say he has 9 5-on-5 goals and 8 5-on-5 assists, even though he might have...
He has 8 5-on-5 goals and 8 5-on-5 assists.
So that would put him at 16 5-on-5 points, which is right in line with Sam Bennett. It's one fewer than Anton Lundell. It's two more than...
Yeah, he should play. He should play.
Yeah. And in terms of points per 60, it's the same thing. He's got 1.4. Which is also the sixth or seventh best on the Panthers roster. I mean, there's concerns about, you know, his physical attributes at, you know, at his age and all that. On maybe the fit is not the best for somebody that's 35 years old, but Okposo's a guy that he's a gamer.
Yeah.
He's just a gamer. And I have admired him for that for a while. And he's, of course, American also, which never hurts to get American players in.
Former teammate of Sam Reinhardt also.
Yep.
I kind of forgot about that. I'm curious to see.
Buffalo South. That's what we've become.
Oh, yeah. Former teammate of Brandon Montour also.
Brandon Montour.
It's amazing that Buffalo at the same time had Eichel, Reinhardt, Montour, O'Reilly. It's amazing that Buffalo didn't make the playoffs for an entire decade.
Or come particularly close.
Yeah, considering the success that players have had upon leaving Buffalo.
It's very strange, isn't it?
Buffalo is on my 10-team no-trade list.
and another thing...
Evan Rodriguez, also a former Sabre, I believe.
Right, yes. He would have been there...
Yep. He was there from 2015 to 2020.
Yeah, so all those guys would have played together.
Oh, my goodness. Rodriguez, Okposo, Reinhardt, and Montour were all teammates in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And now they're going to win the President's Trophy for Florida. after being teammates on a team that couldn't even crack the playoffs.
Strange how things change.
Amazing.
And I mean, this is another guy that said, basically, I want to go to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with Vladimir Tarasenko.
He basically told Buffalo, Florida or nowhere. Keep in mind, he was Buffalo's captain this season.
Yes.
And the whole storyline around this trade was Buffalo does right by their captain, sending him where he wants to go.
And you love to hear that also. You want a guy that's going to be bought in.
Right. I mean, Zito's made this entire team based on guys who want to be here.
Like, and they really want to be here.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's a build the statue. Zito, like, when does Zito get his flowers? He could have won GM of the year literally any of the seasons that he has been GM of the Panthers.
Jake, like, I'm about to ask. He's got to
get his flowers.
I'm about to ask a kind of, I guess you pronounce it hyperbolic.
You
a
do.
Question that is very much in hyperbole, but I was thinking about it the other day.
Yes, Bill Zito is the best GM in Panthers history.
What does he have to do to be the best GM in history? Where does this have to go? Obviously, the Panthers need to win a cup.
Yeah, he's got to win. Multiple. He's got to win a couple of cups.
But the thing is that a lot of guys that have won multiple cups as a general manager have done it because they were so bad that they got the first overall pick, or basically got to rebuild the team. He didn't. And I mean, he does have number two overall Barkov, and you know he did have
number one overall Ekblad,
and number three overall Huberdeau, but he didn't get them on their.
He traded away Huberdeau.
Yeah,
I mean, the only players still on the Panthers roster from before Bill Zito got here are Barkov, Ekblad, Bob, and Knight. Like that's the whole list, and I guess that too.
Yeah,
who came over in the Trocheck trade.
Yep.
But like end of list. Yeah, so it's a very small list of players who were here when Zito got here. He has built this team himself.
Yeah. I think that gives him a real strong argument versus the guys that like you know got to draft Wayne Gretzky or you know got to draft Patrick Kane.
Well, Jonathan Wayne Gretzky was never drafted. Not to the NHL technically. He was drafted to the WHA, and then the WHA and NHL merged. He was never technically drafted to the NHL.
I mean, yeah, but
shallow and pedantic.
How many guys have multiple rings as a GM without being, you know, put in that position that they drafted number one, number two, number three, somewhere around that? And I mean, yes,
in the position where they didn't make those draft picks, Stan Bowman. But he also inherited his team.
Yeah, he inherited them just as they were getting there, though. Like,
keep in mind, that first cup, like, Kane was on his ELC still. Taves may have been as well.
We saw Zito come in at a time when Barkov and Huberto were in their primes. Ekblad, probably at the beginning of his prime. And they still weren't even getting into the playoffs.
Yeah.
He didn't really have the benefit of a full rebuild to turn the team around. But he did it and almost immediately. It's absurd stuff.
Bill Zito's like, Panthers doesn't have happen. Never Bill Zito's Panthers have never missed the playoffs.
After what, one playoff appearance in 10 years?
Dale Talon had. Are we counting the bubble?
No.
I agree. Dale Talon had two playoff berths in 10 years and zero series wins. Bill Zito has three playoff berths in 3 years and four series wins, including
it's about
a trip
to
the cup final.
It's about to be 4 years where they made the playoffs.
Yeah. What is their magic number? I'm curious.
Who's the best GM of all time?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, my gut goes to whoever was the GM of either the Islanders or the Oilers in the 80s. You know what, actually? Oh, God, it was Ken Holland, wasn't it?
What, the Red Wings?
The GM of the 2000s Red Wings. Because those teams were amazing, those early 2000s Red Wings team.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that was pre salary cap.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to really gauge because of the way that the game and roster construction have changed over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Those are kind of my three gut feelings though. Whoever the GM of the Islanders was in the '80s, whoever the GM of the Oilers was in the '80s, and early Red Wings, Ken Holland.
Yeah, we're not counting the 70s Canadiens guys.
Yeah.
That was too easy. That was easy mode. You're winning a championship with 12 teams. Like,
you know, I also hate to say it, but included in the conversation of the best GMs of all time, I do think we have to mention Kelly McCrimmon.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I hate to say it, but man, the things he's done with Vegas, and we'll get into this later on in the show, at least as it impacts this year. The ways that he has manipulated the totally legal NHL rules to build the powerhouse team that he has built is remarkable. You have to include him in that conversation.
Yeah, my one reservation is that he hasn't been the GM of the Knights that long. He's been in the organization the whole time, but McPhee was the GM at first.
Yeah, but McCrimmon was on staff.
Yeah.
And I think McCrimmon is the one who made all the super crafty moves over the last few years. He orchestrated the Stone trade, the Eichel trade, the Pietrangelo trade.
Definitely the Eichel trade. Pietrangelo was just a UFA.
Was he? I thought it was a trade.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
UFA.
But I think McCrimmon signed Pietrangelo.
Yes.
So, yeah, all credit in the world to George McPhee for the way he handled the expansion draft and getting that team off the ground. But I think McCrimmon is the one who really turned it into a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Lightning Steve Yzerman also and
gets oh, to yeah,
be a
he
part
was
of that
great.
Conversation.
He was so good.
Yeah. It's hard to really say. I feel like you kind of have to separate by era for best GMs of all time. But that feel this kind of feels like it's dipping into offseason territory.
You want to talk about the waiver claim the Panthers made today?
I want to talk about every roster move the Panthers have made, yes. They also, as TJ was alluding to, the Panthers claimed Tobias Bjornfot off of waivers from Vegas. I believe he was a Kings draft pick. I like Bjornfot a lot. He was part of Spencer Knight's draft class, and he was very high up on my draft board that year, at least in terms of who would be available for the Panthers at 13 that year. Bjornfot was a guy that I was very intrigued by, ended up going 22nd overall. The Panthers take Spencer Knight with their first round pick that year. But I like Bjornfot. And of course, with Forsling locked up for 8 years now and locked in, locked down, long-term part of the team, the Panthers needed a new Swedish defenseman claimed on waivers to inexplicably turn into a top four talent. So naturally, here comes Toby Bjornfot. Question remains whether or not we'll actually see him play in the NHL roster or in the NHL lineup between now and the end of the season. I assume he will, if for no other reason than to give a guy like Dmitry Kulikov a couple of nights off and keep him fresh for the playoffs.
Also, you don't claim a guy to just sit him on the bench.
Especially considering that when you claim someone off waivers, you are obligated to keep them on your NHL roster for at least 30 days, and 30 days from now pretty much takes us to the end of the NHL regular season. So I doubt that they would pick someone up off waivers at this point in the season without any intention of seeing what they've got at the NHL level.
There are no more roster limits at this point. The salary cap obviously still applies, but they can have as many players on the active roster as they want.
Yeah, he's played 119 NHL games in his career.
I think it's funny that he's played for four different teams this year and still doesn't have a point.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, for LA, Vegas, and both of their AHL teams.
Yeah.
Well, if ever there was a place where he could get his first point. Yeah, 15 career points in 119 games. So not exactly an offensive powerhouse, but I'm not sure that was ever what he was purported to be, which would play into why I liked him, because that was a time where I was really into the idea of the Panthers getting like the next Nicklas Hjalmarsson which is why I bought into Mackenzie Weegar so quickly.
I mean, you want a guy to be producing points at the AHL level, regardless of what his role is going to be at the NHL level.
Yeah.
Matthias Ekholm is an example of that. He was a point producer in junior. Ryan Ellis, same thing, point producer in junior. They get to Nashville. They're not necessarily the drivers of the defense. So that is a little bit concerning that he wasn't putting up any numbers in the AHL, because if you're an NHL level talent, you want to be running the show there.
Right.
You know, half a point per game is not going to get it done at the forward level, third of a point per game at the defenseman level. That's generally the threshold that I go by. It's sort of like the NHL prospect Mendoza line. If you're not putting up half a point per game, you're not an NHL prospect, in my opinion, as a forward, and a third of a point if you're a defenseman.
You know,
but I mean, defensemen are weird. Go ahead.
Some of Bjornfot's chart numbers are actually pretty similar to Forsling's early career chart numbers as well, in that they are not particularly strong.
No.
So that's kind of an interesting similarity between them, that neither one of them was really particularly strong at the NHL level early on in their career. And we obviously saw what happened with Forsling. And again, like, the Panthers turned Josh Mahura from a waiver claim into a serviceable bottom four defender.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who was good enough to be taken in the first round by a smart team. So we'll see. We'll see if the Panthers can get anything out of him.
Total logjam there on defense also. I mean,
yeah.
How many NHL caliber guys have they drafted on defense in the last 5-6 years?
Yeah.
It's a long list.
Yeah. I mean, the Kings had one of the best defenses in the NHL for like a while, especially during their cup run years. They had Doughty, Martinez, Jake Muzzin, Braden McNabb, I believe was there.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly when they had Derek Forbort, but they had Derek Forbort. I mean, this is a team that is very strict about its defensemen and making sure they're good. So that also speaks to Bjornfot's potential when it comes to being drafted by the Kings.
Yeah. He has already been in another situation, the Vegas situation, and they waived him as well. So it may not necessarily be just a change of scenery from the Kings.
That's also a bit of a logjam, though, because they have Petrangelo and Shea Theodore and also Braden McNabb.
And also Alec Martinez.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah.
So Drew Doughty to Vegas when?
Probably never, but they can make it work if he ever wants to waive his no movement clause.
Yeah, apparently.
They'll find a way to make anything work.
Forbort was a King from 2015 until he was traded to Calgary during the 1920 season. So Forbort didn't win any cups with them.
Man, he's been in the NHL for 100 years.
I don't understand the bit.
The 1920 season.
Oh. Fair. Yeah, so Forbort was part of that group, but he got there after they finished winning Stanley Cups.
Yeah. So they wanted to get a depth defenseman, the Panthers.
Yeah.
And they managed to get one on waivers.
Which, again, excellent work. And Bill Zito has proven to be very good at waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just the fact that the Panthers got Bjornfot on waivers excites me. I never thought that a waiver claim would make me so excited, but the success that Zito's team has had with waiver claims makes this exciting to me.
Yeah.
It's a very strange situation that having this caliber of front office has put us in.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, and of course the Panthers traded for Vladimir Tarasenko earlier in the week. We did our express about it, but I mean, that cost 2 third-round picks. I mean, it's a third and a fourth, but the fourth becomes a third if they win the cup. So it was 2 third-round picks.
Yep.
So basically the Panthers deadline is 2/3 and a fifth for Vladimir Tarasenko, Kyle Okposo, and Tobias Bjornfot. I'm calling that a good deadline.
It's not a bad deadline.
No. And I also want to clarify, I wouldn't call it the best deadline in the league. Oh, no. There's one other move we didn't mention. Purely a depth move. But the Panthers did trade AHL goalie Ludovic Weber for Magnus Hellberg, who has a way cooler name and is 6'5". So yeah, that also happened. I think there was also a draft pick involved in that. Maybe not though. I
think it was a conditional seventh. Who really cares?
Okay, yeah, conditional seventh is literally the least valuable draft pick you could give. It was a deadline that the Panthers. It was a deadline of filling needs, basically. It's not a deadline that's going to blow anyone out of the water, but it is a deadline that could win you a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Playoffs, here we come. That's the next stop. And the Panthers have put themselves in a position where there's really not much doubt about that. The only question is seeding. And if you're the Panthers, you probably feel like you're good enough that your seeding doesn't really matter. Because if you're the Panthers, how can you not be confident that you can beat anyone?
Yeah. I mean, you did it last year other than the Cup final, but, you know, that wasn't about home ice.
Right.
Tell you that much. That wasn't about home ice.
That was about our players being broken.
So would you agree that it's fair to say that there's no way to look at this as they did too much? They didn't give up significant assets. They only got two players, and both players want to be here. So there's no real concerns about the locker room other than, like, are we going to have guys that are suddenly toxic in the locker room because they're no longer playing or because they're no longer playing the role that they want to be playing?
Yeah, probably.
That's really the only argument. Yeah, that's looking at it from a glass half empty view. Like, that's just, you're trying to justify thinking that it's not good, and you're just, you know, working backwards from that. I would dismiss that opinion out of hand. The more pertinent question, I feel like, is could they have done more in terms of, could they have taken a bigger swing?
The answer to that question feels like it's always going to be yes.
I phrased it badly then. I feel like the could should be should.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked Anthony Mantha. I would have liked Duclair. Because the Panthers really shouldn't have been in on the super big names this deadline.
They couldn't really.
Right. That's what I mean. They didn't, they frankly did as well as they could with the assets that they have without also giving up rostered players.
Yeah.
Which was a big thing.
I think it was a buyer's market.
It totally was. Totally a buyer's market, especially if the buyer is Vegas. They had a phenomenal deadline.
Oh man,
they had the best deadline, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's the organization that just won the Stanley Cup, and they're making big swings. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, big swings are the way to go.
Yeah, I do also want to quickly interject into this conversation and say that the Islanders, who are currently in ninth place in the Eastern Conference, have 70 points in 62 games played. So if they win out, which they won't, they cap out at 110 points. The Panthers are at 90 points. So the magic number is formally 20 points. The Panthers need 20 more points in the current situation to clinch a playoff berth.
I think it might actually be Tampa. Yeah, they do.
If the Lightning win out with 18 games remaining, that's 36 points. That's 108. Okay, so you're right. You are correct. The Lightning are the team that we need to look at for that, which is hilarious.
That will probably change.
The Panthers' magic number is 108. They need 18 more points to clinch a playoff berth. And if they don't get 18 more points in their 18 remaining games, that's a problem. But if you also want to look at it that way, that means they can go Bettman 500 for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And they're still guaranteed a playoff spot.
I know the Bruins will. So why not us too?
The Bruins are going to, the Bruins have 17 games left and are 37, 13, and 15. I'm going to go ahead and predict now the Bruins are going to finish this season 37, 13, and 32.
I would honestly love it if that happened. That would
Me
just
too.
be, it would be incredible. 30 straight shootout losses. I want to hear, what's the, and Jack Edwards get increasingly more exasperated as they lose shootout after shootout. And the Bruins have lost their 25th straight shootout.
They have 17 games left, TJ.
They're going to lose shootouts in the playoffs, though. Because that's a thing.
I don't think they are. I'd call it a hunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Now I want the Islanders to jump Tampa.
Well, on points percentage right now,
true.
They would. So when did that happen? That the Islanders, they won five in a row, I guess.
They are 6-2-2 in their last 10. Tampa's 4-5-1.
Yeah, so I guess that the Eastern Conference playoff race is now more open than the Western one, where the Predators have an 8-point gap on the teams in ninth or below.
I got to be honest, man. Washington has three games in hand on Tampa also, and is 5 points behind them. Like, they, Washington could jump Tampa.
They just sold, though. I don't see them
yeah,
doing
that's
it.
Fair.
We well, haven't they, been believers
so they,
in them
they
all
traded,
year.
No, we haven't, but it would be funny. Other notable moves to discuss. Vegas obviously leaves this week with a Kings ransom, acquiring
right.
Anthony, the Noah Hanifin, and Tomas Hertl.
Yeah, Vegas loaded up. They're trying to push for a playoff spot. Right now they're in that eighth slot, you know?
Yeah, I don't think they'll have much trouble making the playoffs, though, because the teams behind them
are
Calgary.
I wouldn't be so sure.
You think Calgary and Seattle are going to catch up?
I don't necessarily think that they're going to catch up, but the way things have gone recently.
Vegas has lost four straight.
They have been awful.
That's so funny.
In 2024, they've been awful.
They're 2-7-1 in their last 10.
I wouldn't be shocked if they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, but that would also require Calgary and Seattle. Or one of Calgary and Seattle.
Well, maybe Jacob Markstrom just goes
better.
On an insane run. And
yeah, maybe. That's true.
The Flames have talent. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah,
about
you know, Jonathan Huberto is kind of revitalizing in 2024 a little bit, calendar year 24. He's been better than he was at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, for
then
sure.
Again, it was always going to be hard for him to be worse than he was at
true.
The beginning of this season. Calgary also 6-4-0 in their last 10. Seattle 7-2-1. So I guess anything's possible. God, it would be so funny if Vegas missed the playoffs.
It's possible. It's very possible.
For them to have loaded up the way they did and then missed the playoffs would be just chef's kiss to me.
That would be incredible.
The Hertl one, the Hertl trade is the most absurd one to me. They got Hertl 17% retained and a third round pick, or maybe two third round picks.
Yes, two.
For a first round pick and a prospect.
It was the number 15 overall pick, I believe.
Yeah, so like I don't understand how Vegas walks out of trading for Tomas Hertl, getting more in. Like, especially with the retention. Hertl has 6 years, six full seasons remaining after this year.
Yeah.
And they got San Jose to retain for 6 years.
Yeah.
San Jose, for the record, will be unable to retain any salary on any additional trades next season.
Yep.
All three of their retention slots will be used next year. They're retaining on Carlson, they're retaining on Burns, and now they're retaining on Hertl. I believe Burns is the one that expires next season.
Yes.
And then Carlson, I think, has one additional year beyond that. And then Hertl.
Three full seasons.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be kind of interesting because I don't expect San Jose to be good next year. They're going to be in a position to buy or to sell again, but they're not going to be able to sell with retention. So that's going to be kind of interesting.
I think they might load up on some interesting UFAs because they're in a position that they can offer them 2-year contracts.
Yeah.
And 1-year contracts aren't necessarily the most attractive to NHL players hitting free agency who want to get that long-term security. But if,
yeah,
you know, double the AAV and make it 2 years, and I think you might get some interesting UFAs in.
Yeah,
there.
I would guess that, like, because if you're a twilighting player who's getting a little older, San Jose is not a bad place to live.
No.
So yeah, we'll see. They might be the kind of team that just goes after like the 33-year-old in the 33-year-old UFA who teams are going to want to trade for at next year's deadline. But yeah, they're out of retention slots for next season.
Yeah, so 2-year contracts probably. Man, that roster's looking interesting now, huh?
Yeah.
Without Duclair.
No Duclair, Vanacek, no hurdles.
But I think Vitek Vanacek is New Jersey
traded for 2 goalies today.
That's awesome.
They traded for 2 goalies today. They swapped Vanek for Kaapo Kakkonen from San Jose, and Vanacek. They also traded for Jake Allen.
Yep.
Did I say Vanek?
Yeah, you did.
That's funny. They did not trade Thomas Vanek. Yeah, they traded Vanacek for Kakkonen and also added Jake Allen. Like, the Devils, in total fairness to the Devils, they needed goaltending.
Yeah, they did.
So their deadline focus was creating a goaltending tandem that hopefully pushes them into the playoffs.
I mean, we've said they're basically a total long shot, but you wouldn't be surprised if they ripped off 15 wins out of 17 games. You wouldn't be.
Yeah, if you get like a good version of Jake Allen for the rest of the season, they could make some noise. Their point total caps at,
that's a pillow fight, man.
104, I think.
Lightning Islanders, that's a pillow fight. They can make it.
The highest salary on San Jose right now.
I guess
they still have Logan Couture on IR. I forgot about Couture. Logan Couture is 34. When did that happen?
On his birthday.
35. He turns 35 this month. I didn't realize Couture was that old.
That's one thing I want to talk about, and from San Jose's perspective, signing the Hurdle contract was always insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Totally. They never should have done that. And they have undone an error by getting rid of him. Unfortunately, they have to retain on him for 6 years, but the retention spot is really more painful in the short term. I think that when you get to that fifth or sixth year and you might actually be competitive, it's really not going to be that bad that you don't have the $1,300,000 to spend. It'll be fine, I think.
So Couture is their highest paid player on roster right now at $8 million. Second is Mark Edward Vlasic. Third is Mikael Granlund.
Yep.
Beyond Granlund, you get into some pretty funny names, being the fourth highest paid player on the Sharks.
Mario Ferraro, probably.
Kevin LeBanc is the fourth highest paid. Mike Hoffman is the fifth highest paid.
Didn't move. Then we didn't Ferraro. Even hear about him moving.
Which also hilarious.
Yeah, we didn't even. There was no discussion of that. That's kind of interesting.
They did trade for Klim Kostin, which I think I like Kostin.
He's all right. Yeah, he's had a bad year though.
How has the Dina been this year on this 1 year? Ugh, not great. 20 points in 57 games.
On the Sharks, that's totally fine.
I don't know, like, man. Duclair was better than that.
No, he did not much.
He wasn't better than 20 points. Doesn't he have like 20? Doesn't he have 20 goals?
No. I'm not sure he has 10 goals.
Duclair?
He's had a statistically rough year because that team is really bad. I don't know if you realize this.
Duclair has 27 points, 16 goals. So he's just been going off for like the last two weeks, and that's it.
So that's a good segue. So let's talk about Anthony Duclair headed to Tampa Bay. We mentioned that he did not become reunited with the Panthers.
Sad.
He goes to Tampa Bay for a third round pick and a defensive prospect that is putting up solid offensive numbers in the AHL. This is more than we expected him to go for.
Right, which is kind of why I'm glad the Panthers didn't end up getting him.
I guess basically the price they paid for Tarasenko.
Right. And I would rather have Tarasenko than Duclair, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe that's revisionist history of me because we got Tarasenko and not Duclair.
No, I think that you would probably say you'd rather have Tarasenko if the price is the same. Now, if we were talking about the deadline,
that's a good point. I would assume that Duclair is like a fifth round pick. And I would probably rather give up a fifth for Duclair than 2/3 for Tarasenko.
Yeah, Tarasenko went for a first-round pick at the deadline last year.
Yeah.
So you're probably thinking he's going to get a similar price at the deadline this year, but that's not what happened.
No. But also, that was another situation where he wanted to come to Florida, and he invoked his trade protection to get here.
Smart. Like, I mean, Ottawa still gets a third and a fourth round pick that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Yeah.
Two-thirds, you know, whichever.
Noted Jew Luke Cunningham is the fourth highest paid forward on the Sharks roster. Yeah, that team's going to suck next season, dude. My God.
They should, though.
They're going to struggle to hit the cap floor next season.
No, I think that they'll make it work.
That's true. They're not Arizona.
Who's like the tier two UFAs this coming year? We're not talking about Gensel. We're not talking about Reinhardt, but who's in the next tier?
Do you count Steven Stamkos as a tier one UFA or do you put him in tier two because of his age?
Tier one because of the name value.
I would say part of me wants to put Tyler Myers in tier two.
That's a good one, actually. I like that.
Bertuzzi is a UFA again.
I mean, he just signed a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
If they offered him 10 by 2, he's probably taking it, right?
10 by 2? Please tell me you mean $10 million total over the course of 2 years?
No, I mean $10 million to hit the cap floor, and then you've got a very tradable asset.
Okay, you're talking about San Jose.
San Jose, correct.
Okay. In my head, I'm like, why the hell do you think Toronto would give Bertuzzi $10 million? No, you know what, actually? I guess Toronto has a history of just giving players eight-figure contracts, so who knows? Maybe they would. I feel like most of the league would put Tara Vinen in that tier two, but I personally...
No, absolutely tier one. Absolutely,
like, I'm telling you, Tara Vinen, please, Bilito, July 1st. Please give me. I will buy a Tara Vinen jersey. I promise.
We will. But he's staying.
I don't know.
He's indispensable.
I don't want him to because I want him as a Panther. I'm also trying to consider Brady Shea is probably a tier two UFA.
Yeah.
Jonathan Marchessault finally a UFA.
Oh, it would be so funny if he became a Shark. That would be so good to see Hurdle as a Knight going up against Marchessault as a Shark.
Yeah.
I have to imagine.
Elias Lindholm, probably tier one UFA, right?
Tier one, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Tyson Barrie is a UFA. Victor Arvidsson is a UFA. Has Victor Arvidsson ever been a UFA?
The good one.
I don't know that he's ever been a UFA.
He signed a 7-year extension when he was still under team control with Nashville and he was traded.
Yeah, and this is the last year of that.
That's never been a good UFA.
He's 31 years old, having never been a UFA.
Give him 6.5 by 2 to sign with the Sharks.
Well, I know why the Panthers aren't re-signing Brandon Montour this summer.
I saw the lights in your eyes.
Replace him with Brett Pesce.
Man, that's... Oh, my God. They have Tara Vinen, Gensel, and Brett Pesce coming up this summer.
And Brady Shea.
I don't really think that highly of Brady Shea.
I don't either, but just in comparison, roster spots that Carolina's going to need to fill.
In comparison to those three guys, it's hard to put Brady Shea in the same class.
Anthony Beauvillier is a good tier two UFA that I could totally see just going to San Jose.
Yeah.
Beauvillier is the exact kind of player I think they would get. He's 27 years old, hasn't really been good recently.
No.
Like, I could totally see San Jose being, come here, play on the top line with Logan Couture, see if you can't get your numbers up, and we'll send you off at the deadline. Like, Beauvillier to San Jose makes a lot of sense to me this summer.
Yeah, if I were them, I would try to get a respectable top six and respectable top pairing.
Yeah.
And then bottom four, bottom six, I would put as many salary cap, you know, trades that you're getting assets to take on bad contracts. I would put as many of them in the bottom six and bottom four as I could. You know, Granlund's already there. Jan Rutt is already there. Keep doing that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gensel to Carolina. Yeah, you had something for else sure. In mind.
No, because I don't think the conversation about tier two UFAs is really that productive beyond.
It's not.
Because there are a bunch of names I could keep rattling off, but I don't think this conversation really goes anywhere.
All right. This has been Sharks Parade.
Matt Greslick is a UFA this summer.
I don't think he's going to stay in Boston, so that should be an interesting one.
I don't think the Panthers are in the market for a guy like him, though.
I don't think actually, so.
He'd definitely be relegated to third pairing here.
I would be fine
actually
with
maybe
though.
Not. Maybe you may if you can go down the left with Forsling, Greslick, Mikkola, I'd be happy about that.
How big is Brandon Montour?
Not very. I think he's listed 6 foot even.
Okay, maybe it would work then.
I am correct. So Jake Guentzel. So that trade was really interesting to me also. I think Carolina did really well there, in particular with also getting Ty Smith.
I'm
still
fan,
a believer.
But
I'm still a believer.
It's getting late early for him.
It is.
But he should probably get another shot.
If there is a team that can rehab a young defenseman, it's the Panthers. But also, I think Carolina could do it.
I think he's going to be a UFA this upcoming summer. So
I wouldn't mind giving him that third pair left side.
I mean, there's a long line.
For the Panthers,
yeah.
Third LD.
Mahura, Balinskas, Carlson. Oh, yeah.
I kind of forgot about Mahura, Balinskas, and Carl. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves at this point into thinking that Lukas Carlson has a shot to be on the NHL roster. If it was going to happen, it would have happened. He's been so good in the AHL.
Yeah.
If it was going to happen, it would have happened.
Hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Balinskas, I think, has more of a shot after this season.
He probably is the presumptive 3D because he was beating Mahura all the year.
We did forget to mention that Kali Cyan was part of the return for Okposo.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he just hasn't been good this year.
Yeah.
It is what
probably
it is.
Not worth mentioning.
Sorry, Kali Ocho. It didn't work out.
Kali Ocho. If you're going to say it that way, then say it right. Yeah. So Guentzel and Ty Smith, I don't remember what Pittsburgh got. To be honest,
they got a couple of decent prospects. They got Vasily Ponomarev, whatever, a guy that I always would get in NHL 23 because he was high top six. He reminds me of E2 a lot. His profile, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be
that's
a
right.
Bottom.
Bunting also.
Bunting is part of the return. It was two prospects, a second round pick that becomes a first, I believe, if they make the cup final. If the Panthers had a competitive offer, I would have totally believed it. In this case, they could have done this. But
I have the whole trade. So Carolina receives Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith. Good for them.
Uh-huh.
Pittsburgh receives Michael Bunting, Ville Koivunen, Vasily Ponomarev, Cruz Lucius. That's a fucking baller name.
Yeah.
Cruz Lucius. Like, that's a name that feels like it should be reversed. Lucius Cruz makes way more sense as the name. I like that name. 2024 conditional first, and also a fifth that I think is also conditional. Good for them.
It was a volume of prospects. They didn't have prospects.
Yeah. Michael Bunting, three prospects. A first and a fifth for Jake Guentzel and Ty Smith. It looks like a lot when you look at it on paper, but ultimately it's really Bunting and a first for Jake Guentzel plus some other stuff.
I mean, the prospects are not nothing, but Carolina does have a particularly deep prospect pool. They draft well. These are not guys that were projected to be difference makers at the next level, but they could have been solid pros.
Right.
E2 for Ponomarev is like what I'm hanging on to for all of them. They basically could have been that level of contributor, which is you want it, but it's also not Verhaeghe. It's not Tkachuk. It's nothing like that.
Right. So good for Carolina. The Panthers won't have to deal with Michael Bunting in the playoffs. They also won't have to deal with Jake Guentzel in the playoffs because Carolina is not making it to the conference final again. There is another team that I want to talk about in regards to what I just said, and that is the Rangers, who made a lot of really kind of head-scratching moves.
They paid a pretty hefty price for Wennberg.
Yeah, and they also got Jack Roslovic and Chad Ruedel. Like,
Ruedel's nice.
A friend
like
of mine
Ruedel.
Is a Rangers fan. Referred to the Rangers as the Mall of Mediocre after today. Because, like, Wennberg, Roslovic, Ruedel, I don't know. I guess you could kind of stand that up to, like, Okposo, Tarasenko. No, because Tarasenko is better than any of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, Ruedel cost a fourth-round pick. He's...
Yeah. Oh, and they also got Nick Patan. That's the other guy they got.
That's the big one.
Ruedel for a fourth.
That's sneaky good.
Wennberg for something.
Second and a sixth, I believe. And then what was the pick for Roslovic? Was it a 2025 third or fourth?
Roslovic to the Rangers. Columbus retains 50% for a conditional fourth in 2026. The fourth becomes third if the Rangers make it to the final. And also Roslovic plays 50% of the games. That's a pretty fair condition.
Yes.
Like, you can be pretty confident if you're the Rangers that that is a fourth round pick. And if it is a third, it means you're in the conference finals, so you're probably not going to care that much about that extra round.
No.
So, good for the Rangers. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what their roster ends up looking like after this, because those are all guys you would expect to be in their NHL roster regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what the lines look like. I'm not particularly scared of the Rangers so much as I'm slightly frightened by Igor Shesterkin.
And why wouldn't you be?
Right. Shesterkin's the kind of goalie who can steal a series, even if the rest of the team plays like shit.
He's so, heating up.
Yeah. So, I'm not so much frightened by the Rangers, as I don't really want to run into Shesterkin, but if Carolina doesn't make it to the conference final, it's because Igor went off against them.
But you don't think they're making it, so you think that he's going to go off against them.
Correct. That is ultimately what I'm saying.
We're looking forward to that series.
I don't know, because right now, round one is New York versus Detroit. And I could also just see Detroit overwhelming New York, but then getting bounced immediately.
I mean, it's the NHL playoffs. It could totally happen. I wouldn't predict it, though.
I do hope Carolina beats the Flyers in round one, if the picture is what it looks like today, because the Panthers have given me reason to really hope that they don't play the Flyers in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
for some reason, they can't fucking figure out Samuel Ersson.
We could talk about that game for this audience, but, like,
yeah,
I just insert my shibboleth here about the regular season's how meaningful it is, whatever.
I don't know. It's less that it happened and more that it happened twice.
Twice.
That's what concerns me.
There will be a rematch, so we'll see what happens in that.
So I guess, I mean, are there any other significant moves that you would like to discuss? A bunch of players went out west.
Yeah, I mean, up until Gensel went to the Hurricanes, It was nice that didn't really seem like the East contenders were really loading up. I mean, Toronto didn't do much. Two depth defensemen.
Yeah.
Neither of them were fans of, so maybe it'll work out.
Toronto's still bad.
I thought Boston had a pretty terrible deadline. I mean, we were talking about Andrew Peak. They've got real cap problems, and they signed up for that guy for two more seasons at a not insignificant cap number. And I mean, it really sucks that a player that we're going to describe this way is local to South Florida, because it's very cool that he's made the NHL, but he probably shouldn't be in the NHL.
Yeah.
He's not that good.
Nashville gets Jason Zucker, Wade Allison, and they sign Mark Jankowski.
That's really funny.
I guess that's a day. It's a busy day.
Are you surprised that the Bruins didn't do more, though? Because I expected them to.
Not really. I don't know. I feel like they would have been in on bigger names. I'm not too terribly surprised that they didn't do too much. I just don't think there was much for them to do. They're obviously not going to sell.
No.
They're second in the division, even though it's fraudulent.
I mean, who else is going to be second in the division? The Leafs?
Ooh, scary. Oh, are we geared up for another Boston-Toronto round one? Hell yeah, we are.
Battle of mid.
Yeah. I'm not really all that surprised though.
Is there anything that we haven't mentioned that you're a big fan of in terms of a buying?
I feel like if there was, I wouldn't have to think super hard about it. Oh, yes. Despite everything I just said. I'd say Winnipeg getting Tyler Toffoli. Fucking good for them, man. I'm a big fan of Toffoli. I would have loved to see the Panthers pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. I would have rather had Toffoli than Okposo. I think he's going to be tremendous for Winnipeg.
I mean, that's a scary team when you've got Hellebuck and then all the firepower that they have.
That's your cup final. It's Florida-Winnipeg, I'm telling you.
The West is going to be very interesting. I feel like the West has a lot of cup contenders, and the East maybe has it feels like the Panthers and the Hurricanes. Rangers might deserve to be in that conversation. I don't really think the Bruins are there. I don't really think the Leafs are there.
Winnipeg's official tweet when they got Tyler Toffoli was, "Holy moly, we got Toffoli."
Nice.
That rules.
That's pretty sick.
Oh, this is funny. I didn't realize this. Toffoli, Winnipeg is Toffoli's fourth Canadian team. He has also played for Vancouver, Montreal, and Calgary.
Yeah.
He's so doing the congratulations, rounds. Toronto, on signing Tyler Toffoli on July 1st. Actually, no. The funnier version would be Ottawa signs Toffoli on July 1st and then trades him
to Toronto.
Make it
happen, boys.
Or to Edmonton. I don't care.
Trade him to Edmonton. Yeah. San Jose's gonna offer him the 7.5x2 over the offseason. That's a good one for them to overpay.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good move for them.
What was the return on Toffoli?
The one thing I'll say about Winnipeg, though, is I was thinking about it today, and I think that if they had waited, the price for Monahan would have gone down significantly.
Yeah.
Because it's not comparable to the other prices paid for the rentals. Other than, I guess that you could make an argument that, like, the big centers all went for first-round picks. Lindholm, first-round pick. The Henrique trade involved the first-round pick. And I mean, Sam Carrick is really just throw-in. I don't think that was a major component. And Monahan, first round pick.
Yeah.
The other guys are wingers, you know. Gensel's a winger. Toffoli's a winger. Tarasenko, winger. It was nice that the Panthers didn't really need a center at this deadline because they got centers playing on the wing, as we've already discussed.
Toffoli went for a second and a third, so the Panthers wouldn't have been able to match that.
Yeah, they would have had to dig into future years. And yeah. I don't think you do that for Toffoli as much as good as he is. Keep your powder dry. There's always going to be stars to potentially shake free. And at this point, you're in a situation where guys are in that pre-agency period where they're an RFA and they're telling their team, hey, like, I don't want to stay here long term. Here's the short list of teams that I would like you to trade me to. You know, in the sense that, like, I'll tell them that I'll sign long-term. And Florida's going to be on that list for almost every player in the league.
Oh, yeah.
Every elite player. So keep that first-round pick, and who knows who's going to become available. I there's no way to predict it.
I did think it was interesting. There was a lot of noise around Boston potentially moving Linus Ullmark. There was something in place with L.A. I assume eventually we'll get the details. It didn't end up getting across the finish line. The call never came in. Trade did not happen. The rumor, at least the rumor that I've heard, is that Pierre-Luc Dubois was part of it.
That would have been stunning.
Yeah. Pierre-Luc Dubois does not have any trade protection right now either. So I'm curious about what the details of that trade would have been. I'm curious how it fell through. Ullmark does have a modified no trade, so maybe he nixed it.
Yeah, did you see the it didn't work for geography reasons?
No, I did not.
Yeah, that was something that I saw on multiple occasions. Maybe it was
literally Ullmark being like, I don't want to go to LA.
But I also heard that the Bruins weren't happy with what the Kings were willing to give up.
Yeah. So maybe Dubois had nothing to do with it then, because I feel like if you're Boston, Dubois would have been a fun piece to grab. Yeah, so I'm curious to eventually find out the details of what that trade would have been and why it fell through. But
is there an underrated move you think that somebody made for the not significant draft capital that will pay off? Honestly, yeah. The first one's coming to mind is Kyle Okposo.
Yeah, I was going to say Okposo for a seventh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And we were discussing, like, he fits right in the dead center.
Yeah.
On the Panthers for scoring this year. And we know that he's good defensively based on the metrics, not necessarily a killer defensively, but like he's not bad either.
He's not going to drag your defense down.
No. And I mean, he is also a gamer. Like I said, he's competitive, very competitive.
Yep. Right.
And you very much admire that about him. I think that's going to be a nice little trade for them. I like him though. So maybe a little bit compromised in terms of evaluating it, honestly. You know, Ruido for a fourth, I like that one. I think that he's very solid defensively and reliable on a third pairing.
Okposo's had a long career, man. He was really good for a while in there, though.
Tavares's running mate. And,
yeah, good point.
Pretty good one.
Yeah, 2010 to 2014, he was bonkers.
Yeah.
Rough year in 14-15, but then 15-16, he was really good again. And that's kind of when he started declining noticeably.
You know, Winnipeg,
but he's having
Miller.
A good year now. And he was pretty decent last year, too. And the year before. Fuck, he's been solid the last 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people realize how good he's been.
Yeah. Well, he's been in Buffalo. It's, and I don't even mean that as like a joke. I mean that as like, if you're a Sabres player who's not putting up absurd amounts of points, there's just not going to be a lot of conversation around you.
Let's end by keep talking about the Sabres and the move that they made, the big move, trading
Kyle Okposo to the Panthers for a seventh. No, I assume you're talking about
or
Byron.
Did we already talk about this about this
I
on
doubt
the Express?
I doubt it. I don't think we did. Maybe we did. I don't remember.
I think we probably did. But you know, that's a move
that trade
I like
might have happened while we were recording.
I don't think it did. I think it happened during the day.
That makes sense. Yeah, Bo Byram for Casey Mittelstadt. Oh, yeah, because I made the joke about pull-ups.
Yeah.
And that was definitely, I was definitely facing my computer when I made that joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did talk about it. That's still a super interesting trade to me. I'm very curious to see how it works out. Byram already has a goal for Buffalo, so.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that you want to cover?
Nope. I think that wraps up the deadline. Overall, grade?
B+.
Yeah, B. I was going to say B+.
It's hard to give an A when the best player they got was Prime Tarasenko.
Yeah.
But the prices, the value is an A+. But
right.
You just...
They gave up very little. And frankly, like, I don't know. Actually, I've convinced myself. I'm going to give them an A-. I'm going to give them an A-. They filled every need that they had, and they did not give up much to do it.
Yeah.
They didn't add any. Like, if they had gotten to Foley, I would have bumped that to an A. If they had gotten Mantha, A+. But, like, yeah, if they had gotten younger guys who I'd be more excited to try and keep beyond this season. I guess Bjorn Fott kind of does fall into that category.
Yeah, but that's not a trade, so
right.
Honestly don't count it.
Yeah, they went a little older with their trades, but they filled the needs that they had. They signed a good forward who can create depth by forcing it, and they also signed a depth forward, and they signed a defenseman who likely is a top six defenseman. If he can pull something out of it. Like if Paul Maurice can unlock Tobias Bjornfot, there is an NHL defenseman there. So they filled their needs and they didn't break the bank to do it. So I will give them an A-.
Yeah. It's highly unlikely that should they falter at some point in the playoffs that we look back and say, man, that third and fourth round pick for this.
Right.
Sort of like how after the sweep against Tampa, you were thinking, you know, we gave up 2 first-round picks and Owen Tippett for this to happen. And now Giroux and Sherratt are going to walk. Not that we were upset about Sherratt walking.
Yeah.
But
No, but even then, like, we went into that being like, yeah, this was the year to mortgage a bit of future and load up. Like, yeah, you a player like Claude Giroux does not become available at the deadline every year. Fucking yeah, if he wants to be a Panther, you go get him. Even if you are having a phenomenal offensive season already. Like, yeah, go get Claude Giroux. So I still don't begrudge that.
No, I don't begrudge that.
I will forever begrudge Ben Chiarot because I hated him to begin with. But that's the one move that Bill Zito has made in his years of service as the Panthers GM that didn't work. Or rather, it's not that it's the only one that didn't work, but it's the only one that had a significant price tag that didn't work.
It's the one that you can blame him for. Like, the Spencer Knight contract is also looking like a pretty rough move, but I don't know how much of that was his fault because, you know, the OCD issues coming up last year rather than when the contract was actually signed. You know, Colin White didn't work out. And
right, but that was also super low price.
Right.
I should say, there's a difference between the difference that we can create here is it's not that Chiarot is the only move to not work, but it is to this point Zito's only bad move. That's the demarcation line.
No bad moves.
Stroza didn't work, Colin White didn't work, whatever. You got them for nothing. Yeah. It doesn't matter that they didn't work. They weren't bad moves. They were good darts to throw. Chiarot was never a good dart.
No. For the price especially.
Right. So I'll give this deadline an A-. Zito continues his very strong track record of roster moves with the Panthers. Bjorn Fott could genuinely be a very interesting piece of this team in the years to come. I mean, he's 22, so I don't have to believe he's a pending RFA. Oh, he has one more full season, and then he's an RFA. Great pickup. Bjorn Fott's a great pickup there.
What's the contract?
One more full season at $775,000.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And then he's an RFA before on July 1st, 2025. That's a solid pickup. That's a guy who I would be surprised to not see in the NHL roster next season. Because next season you lose Mahura. Well, Mahura is also under team control. But Kulikov and OEL,
he'll be traded. I would bet.
Yeah, probably recoup some draft capital for Josh Mahura's RFA rights. Especially, I mean, you can just swap Mahura out for Bjorn Fott and probably not lose a step.
Yeah.
Plus OEL and Kulikov, I would be surprised to see either one of them back next season.
Yeah, I don't think either is coming.
Yeah. I mean, OEL, frankly, is proving that his July 1st, 2024 contract is probably going to be for more money than his current contract.
He should go to San Jose for 2 years.
Honestly?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there will definitely be a roster spot for Toby Bjorn Fott next season, barring July 1st, 2024.
There is some competition.
Yeah.
Beliskis and Mahura. Sorry, it's getting late.
And Matt Greslick. Don't forget Matt Greslick.
Brett Pesce.
Pesci's a righty.
Teuvo Teravainen.
Not a defenseman.
I'm just recapping what's going to happen on July 1st.
Oh, fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to suck that we have to trade Barkov to make it work, though.
Yeah, if we get Pesci, Teravainen, and Greslick, I'm going to call it the best free agency period in the history of the Panthers.
Yeah. They're not going to trade Barkov.
No, fucking course not. Although, I don't know, you have Kyle Okposo that you could slap the scene. Yeah, so good job, Bill Zito. A successful deadline, another successful deadline, I should say. Folks, we're gonna keep at it with the weekly shows, but next stop, playoffs.
Choo-choo.
Good night, everyone. Go Panthers.